Welcome to On the Frontline, the Safety Learning and Operations Podcast. My name is Dr. Gina Anderson, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Luma Brighter Learning. Luma helps the transportation and logistics industry save lives through our award-winning connected learning platform because we believe that we are connected, and when you are, you can reduce risk, spark change, and learn with purpose. And that is why we are celebrating the people designing better outcomes for those who move our industries. Stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you could be our next guest to be celebrated in about 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hi everyone, I'm so excited today to have you join my On the Frontline podcast. I have an incredible, incredible human with me today. And if you don't know Jason, you are surely going to know and want to know him after our conversation today. Jason McDaniel is the editor for Bulk Transporter and Refrigerated Transporter magazines. And in fact, has done so much more in impacting people's lives by what he writes, how he engages, and how he connects with leaders from all across the globe. And I am so excited to have him here today with me. Hello, Jason, and welcome to my podcast. I so appreciate you being here with me today.
Hey, Gina, thank you very much. Glad to be here. That was very kind. So I just want to say, you know, my disclaimer, I guess, before we get started, my perspective may be a little bit different than some of the guests you have on sometimes, some of the executives or professionals in education or the medical field or something, because of course, while I spend a lot of time talking to people in trucking at all different levels, CEOs, managers, drivers, technicians, I'm not actually in the trucking business. You know, I'm in the media business. Our parent company, Endeavor B2B, we own over 100 different publications across every major industry in the country. We also have marketing and event services, and I think over 600 employees at the last count. So I'll do my best to answer your questions, and you sent some pretty tough topics that we're going to be covering today. So I'm a little nervous. Actually, when you sent them to me, I shared them with my boss, and he said, "Well, you said you want to be a thought leader. You know, this is what you're going to have to do. You know, be careful what you wish for." So, anyways, I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Well, I just love that you're impacting so many people. You know, and like you say, you publish for all around the globe, and you know, this idea of leading means so much to so many different people. And so what do you think leading from the front line, from all the things that you've seen and written, means to you? And how do you think that shaped maybe your writing or decisions you've made?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm thinking about that question as the leader of this magazine that has been around for so long. I really see myself in this magazine as an advocate for the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a, you know, 20 years in journalism, and I'm someone who's passionate about storytelling and getting things right, but I've had to learn a lot. And luckily there's been a lot of people who have been very gracious with their time and their knowledge and kind of helped me understand what's going on. So I just want to share that, you know, Bulk Transporter's mission is to share best practices, spotlight the best of the best fleets, you know, the ones that are doing things right, and keep the industry updated on changing legislations and regulations, especially in times like these where so much is changing and there's so much uncertainty in the market. You know, tank truck is one of the most heavily regulated segments in trucking. So, you know, they're dealing with FMCSA, PHMSA, NHTSA, EPA, CARB, you know, the list goes on and on. So, you know, basically I want the best fleets, manufacturers, and suppliers to the industry to aspire to being featured in the magazine. That's going to help me keep it alive, keep telling those stories. So Bulk Transporter and National Tank Truck Carriers have been closely related since the beginning. The founder of the magazine, which was founded in 1937,
wow,
his name's Austin Sutherland, was also the association's first leader after World War II, when NTT started in 1945. And I believe you're going to be there in Kansas City this year. They're celebrating their 80th anniversary. You know, so that mindset, you know, involves me building new relationships, preserving relationships, telling people stories accurately and fairly, you know, and providing insight. So, you know, that's why I'm trying to get on more of these podcasts and get out into the market a little bit more. I was lucky enough to be a judge on National Tank Truck Carrier's Driver of the Year contest earlier this year. And then, you know, last thought there, I guess I like to say I'm not an expert, but I'm an expert on how to find the experts, you know, earn their trust, ask the right questions, and then sort of translate what they're saying into plain English for our readers. When I was coming up in sports journalism, you know, one of our professors used to say, you know, don't forget you're writing for Joe Sixpack as well. You know, so not every member of our audience is able to read through a scientific research report or some sort of legal or government document and easily understand what the heck they're saying. So, you know, that's where I come in.
I love it. You know, storytelling has such an impact on our brains and our neurotransmitters. So I just did a podcast a few weeks ago with someone who's really passionate about storytelling. So I really admire the work you do because, you know, positive stories can really impact our heart. There's so much negativity. So I love what you write because it's about educating and making people better and improving and saving their lives. And, you know, that's so important in the tank industry. I mean, every day they're on the road, everyone's supporting them. There's lives on the line. And so that mission is beautiful. So thank you for that. And I know you talk to a lot of people. So when you talk to people, have you seen something that you think maybe we should redesign or maybe you would want to do something different? And like, what would it be? And like, what would you do instead?
Yeah. And by the way, along the lines of storytelling, I've known for a while that I tend to write long. And so I've discovered in doing more of these types of recordings that I tend to talk long too. So if you need to keep me on track, feel free to cut in and let me know. So, you know, thinking about redesigning, I guess one thing that came to mind is just, I'm not a big fan of SEO. Search engine optimization. To me, it's like prioritizing the people who are organizing the magazines or the newsstand over the actual content of the publications or the people who are creating the content. You know, everybody's so pleased about, you know, so worried about pleasing Google. You know, they're not as focused on creating good content, engaging, you know, long form storytelling. You know, and now Google isn't even sending traffic to news sites anymore. We're dealing with that in our company. You know, they're trying to use AI to answer everybody's questions right there on their website, you know, which I feel is further contributing to the erosion of quality reporting. So I'm not a big fan of SEO. You know, at the same time, there's so much information coming at you, you know, from network and cable TV stations and websites and social media. It's kind of hard to know what to believe, who to trust, you know, or what to do with all of this information. And so kind of relating that to what trucking companies are going through, you know, it's the all of the telematics data that's available to people. You know, trucking companies are trying to figure out what's actually helpful, what's maybe just interesting, but not particularly useful. You know, how do I monetize this information, these telematics capabilities? How do I prioritize data or different alerts that they might be receiving? And it can be overwhelming. So, you know, that's why it's so important to have a trusted information source like Luma or Bulk Transporter, of course.
Oh, I love that. So, you know, it's interesting that you say this about Google and SEO because it really does, it influences what people learn. And as a learning scientist and you being passionate about media, it does impact us. And I love that you're like committed to doing real storytelling. And what I mean by that is producing education that can connect with us because we're in this time in the world where we're so disconnected and your words and what you do can bring us together. So I love that. And I really think when I read your articles and the work that you've done, you really learn about these powerful lessons about the front line. And I'm not a trucker, so I've learned a lot from your work. So thank you for that, because you bring education to people that, you know, aspire to learn more. So what do you think it really teaches us when we look at the front line about humanity?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the first thing you learn when you get out of the office or, you know, out from behind the keyboard, especially in this segment, there's a lot of great people out there. I mean, there's a lot of really smart people, smarter than me. And people generally want to do the right thing for their families and their businesses. But, you know, a lot of times they don't know, you know, they don't know how, they don't know what sources of information to trust, you know, who to look to for solutions. And, you know, so when I was thinking about this, I think one thing businesses tend to do, especially when times are tough, and I think they talked about this at the G.D. Hoffman event that we were at recently, people tend to want to follow the trends. You know, if times are tough, maybe they're going to scale back and start doing things a little differently. And, you know, instead of remembering what they do best. And so an example of that from our line of work would be our group really holding on to print magazines. You know, so many media companies for years have been leaning into digital, getting rid of magazines, newspapers, books, you know, especially as the cost of printing and paper has gone up, which I think has really hurt the quality of news and storytelling, you know, in my opinion. And many of our competitors in the commercial vehicle media space are now digital only. You know, we've refused to give up print completely. And, you know, it hasn't been easy. We've had to scale back in some cases. Bulk Transporter used to be monthly. Now we're 6 issues a year. But now I think we're starting to see the popularity with advertisers and audience kind of coming back with print. And some of those decisions are starting to pay off. You know, it kind of makes me think, wish I had held on to those jorts my family made to get rid of a few years back. You know, everything comes back around. No, that's probably the right decision. Yeah, there was 20 years.
I love that, though. You're right about books because, you know, I look forward to your magazines. Like, I get them in the mail. I did an article. I did a paid advertisement, like, last year. And I think they thank you for leaving me on because I still get them. They're sending them to me in a nice little envelope. And I get so excited when it comes and I, like, enjoy it. But there's science to that. I mean, I have coloring books that we give out at conferences and people are like, Gina, do you teach kids? It's like, no, it's about connecting us. And actually, when you're coloring or when you're reading, it actually releases neurotransmitters kind of similar to a meditative state that actually makes you feel better. There is something about holding the magazine and flipping through the breathing that you undergo that creates joy. So I love getting those magazines. So keep doing them. I mean, it's not, people are like, you're wasting, you know, it's an environmental issue. There's all these reasons not to do it, but there is a reason to do it, and it's to connect us and to bring us together. So thank you for that.
And I would say as a follow-up, you know, the last couple of years in our long range planning meetings, I've had to really fight to hold on to print. And this was the first year that I was really in a good position and we didn't have to worry about it. You know, it's been a tough market for a lot of industries and a lot of our publications across different verticals, but we've actually done pretty well. And I think one of the things is advertisers or our clients are starting to want to diversify their media spend. They're looking at the companies that now have different things that they can offer. And then also, you know, any tank truck terminal you go into in the country that's ever been in Bulk Transporter magazine, if they've been in the magazine, they have a framed copy of that article on the wall. And you can't print out a copy of a story off the website, put it on the wall and make it look the same. And then also, a physical product really allows us to kind of highlight what we do at conventions and the shows that we go to. You know, so that's why I've kind of argued that you know, print should be kind of considered a marketing expense because it really highlights the quality and the depth and breadth of the work that we do.
Absolutely. So. Thank you for that. Thank you for keeping it alive, keeping print alive. It's so appreciative. So I don't know, like, I think about like new innovations and, you know, emerging in our space. And when you think of media, I mean, everyone's talking about AI. And I just shared a story on my LinkedIn today about how I went to a meeting and it's like, the people aren't showing up. It's like for a week, like a couple weeks in a row, an AI agent came instead. And like, what's going to happen? Like when, you know, it's just me and a bunch of agents, I'm going to be like, what's going on? But what do you think? Can you maybe share a moment when an innovation, maybe at your company, actually came from an unexpected place and it sprouted awesomeness?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do have some thoughts on AI and what's going on that and how that impacts me and the trucking industry. But first, I wanted to highlight a human because when you asked me that question, I started thinking of a young, very talented editor on our staff. His name is Jeremy Wolf. He's actually part of the fleet owner team. And he's really helped us get into podcasting. So, you know, our group has a bunch of old guys who, you know, grew up, you know, I can still remember before the internet or email or smartphones or any of that kind of stuff. So we've been kind of resistant to, you know, plus how much time do you have to spend on everything to do a good podcast? As I'm sure, you know, it takes a lot of time and you got to have some good, you know, some good equipment to be able to do a quality recording. But you know, he's really helped. And, you know, and I guess the other thing I was thinking about too, is just how much does our audience want a podcast? There's so much to listen to. And me, like I said, kind of being an old guy, I still, when I have some time, if I'm driving in the car, I still prefer to listen to music or, you know, if I'm grilling out in the backyard, I want some good tunes playing. But he's really helped us get this. We have a new podcast series called The Fleet Lead. He's done a great job of taking that ball and just running with it. You know, helping us navigate the technology, taking the lead on producing the episodes, distributing them and all the podcast channels. You know, when we were at the TCA refrigerated meeting, actually, we keep running into each other everywhere. I was listening to a session about finding and training young technicians, young reefer technicians.
Yes.
And they talked about really embracing the younger generation's skill set. And, you know, because these young guys, they've grown up with these technologies that weren't around when I was younger. And so it's really ingrained in them. And you can take a young guy or a young woman, put them in charge of social media or just keeping your website updated, mm-hmm. and, you know, give them that responsibility, just give them the freedom to run with it. And you'll be surprised at the results. I mean, they could do some great things. So with our podcast series, you know, I've done a couple of article reads, kind of diving into different tank truck topics. And we just recorded our first roundtable discussion yesterday.
Wow.
And I was excited to join you today. So yeah, getting into the podcasting world has definitely been something, an innovation for us that a young editor has helped us with.
That's awesome. I love that. And you know, the thing is, it creates emotional resonance. You know, if you can think about your stories reading and the voice of the people telling the story, there's so much emotional resonance, which creates a neural synapse that they will never forget. So I love it. But I agree with you, cognitive overload, you know, it's like there's a lot of content. So it's like they're making the content relevant, making it interesting, and bringing amazing people on board like you that change lives that people want to connect with. So I love that. What do you think 10 years from now when you're out of the industry, or maybe you'll still be in the industry, what do you hope your work has done to move the industry forward? Like, what do you think, what do you want to leave as your legacy?
Yeah, that's a good question. And thinking about this, I was talking to Josh Fisher, the fleet owner editor, and he pointed out that, you know, we're already doing that because our work helps move the industry forward every day, because that's what we do. We write about trucks driving forward. So I guess, you know, my legacy will be contributing to this magazine, keeping it alive, keeping it in good shape when I hand it off to the next editor who comes behind me, and just continuing to help try to advance the industry, whether that's sharing insider information about new equipment or technology or things going on in the marketplace. I'm right now, for the upcoming issue, working on a new technology in the fuel supply chain that I think will help really drive efficiency and bridge the communication gap between fuel haulers and storage terminal operators. You know, I've written about blockchain technology that I think could help the liquid food grade space, especially when it comes to keeping tanks clean. I love telling stories about innovative companies, you know, telling the story behind the solution provider, the people who are running the company. Why do they care about this solution? Mm-hmm. Just helping navigate the rise of, rideshare technologies are causing different issues in shipping and receiving now. The pulsating brake lamp technology is something that I've been covering for a while. And even these lights are already getting smarter, and they're not even completely accepted by FMCSA yet.
Wow.
You mentioned AI. So that's a big thing that I think we're working on right now, automation and AI. And that's also in transportation and publishing, automation and manufacturing. What's the best way to use it? How do I use AI to help my business operate more efficiently? And at the same time, you know, I don't want to be replaced by a robot. You know, as a writer, I don't think it would be a great idea for us to turn over all the writing to robots either. And, you know, our Travis Hessman, who's our vice president of corporate content and strategy for our entire company, recently in an editorial meeting of over 100 different editors, he shared this about how we want to use AI in our company. And you may have seen this somewhere else, but it kind of goes like this. I want to use AI to do my laundry and the dishes so that I can do the art and the writing. I don't want AI to do my art and writing so that I can do my laundry and dishes. So, you know, it's about, you know, and actually I recently saw a story about the first AI generated actress who's trying to get representation in Hollywood right now. I mean, I think it's just kind of crazy the road that we're going down. And I don't necessarily think it's a good thing. So I think there's good uses for it. And it's about trying to figure out the best way to use AI to automate some of those back office day-to-day mundane tasks so that, you know, people like yourself, like myself, we can get out into the world. We can do more podcasts. We can, write more original content and be those sort of brand ambassadors trying to help push the industry forward. You know, and I don't think AI, you know, AI might be able to write some articles. I think they would be bad, but they can't get out there at these shows and build those relationships, help judge contests, you know, and really make those partnerships that are going to continue moving this industry forward. And so I think that's kind of where our true value lies right now when we think about AI.
I love that. Well, I wanted you on my podcast today specifically because I can appreciate the creativity that you bring to the industry, the difference that you're making. And I know that, Jason, you might not always get the spotlight, but the learning that you brought through your writing and your work is moving the industry forward, and your company and all that you do. And you might not be the loudest editor that I've ever met. And actually, when you tap me on the shoulder, I was like pleasantly surprised. And you're not like running around trying to, you know, get titles or get like recognition. But you know what I've noticed this year is like I'm seeing that you keep showing up time, like everywhere I'm at, you're there. It's like I go to a driver event, you're there. I go to an industry event, you're there, because you keep showing up time and time again. And so on this podcast, I actually created a Pelican Award. Do you know anything about pelicans?
Please tell me more.
Okay. So, and you'll have a pelican with your name on it. And I created it because I wanted to honor quiet heroes and people who really lead from the heart and who carry the weight of others without asking for anything in return. And I chose the pelicans specifically. They're actually a lot in Charleston. And one time I went in Green Bay and I've seen some in Green Bay, which is a little strange. I don't know why they want to be in Green Bay because it's so cold, but they do live in hunting groups and they form a community. And they don't thrive in isolation, but with each other in connection. They represent teamwork, they represent social bonds, and the balance between giving and receiving. And Jason, I know that like all that you do is give. Like you're a giver. Like you like give to the industry, you give learning, you give education, you give goodness, you give kindness, and like all of this stuff. And I wanted to have you on because you represent all the traits that a pelican community would represent, who see the strength, you see the strength in others in the industry, drivers, when you are doing the voting and you lift them higher. And I can appreciate that because you give without ego. You don't write these articles expecting like publisher of the century. You're not leading. You don't only just lead from the front, but you lead within your community. And so I know while your work might not always get the headlines, I know your impact, it's lasting, it's personal, and it's powerful. And it's had a huge impact on me personally by giving my article a chance, which many in the industry have never done before. So I appreciate the way that you move people forward quietly but purposely and for the community that you built. So thank you so much by all the lives that you've changed just by being you. And so you will get a pelican in the mail for me. And I look forward to seeing you at Tank Week next week. So leave us today with some lasting thoughts of goodness and learning that you would like to leave with the industry.
No, you're definitely way too kind, Gina. So thank you very much. I appreciated that. I definitely don't do it for the awards, but I do like to win awards too whenever possible. So I will cherish this. You know, I see pelicans around a little bit here and there where I'm at near the Gulf Coast area in the Houston or Galveston and Corpus. When I go down to the Rio Grande Valley, but now I'll get to have one in my house. So that's exciting. And yes, I was going to say, I know we'll be running into each other again real soon. So if you don't want to mail it, if you want to save on shipping, you can maybe just bring it with you, I guess, to Kansas City, because I'll definitely be there.
Oh, that's true. I don't want it to get broken in the suitcase. We'd have to throw those away. Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Jason, for joining me today. Keep shining, keep being you, and we'll see you very soon.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Dr. Gina Anderson here. Thank you so much for listening to On the Frontline, the Safety Learning and Operations Podcast. If you are a successful director, VP, or C-level executive, and you're solving some of the toughest challenges in training, engagement, and risk reduction, we would love to have you on this show. Please visit podcast@learningwithgina.com and apply to be a guest. If you got something out of this interview, would you share the episode for me on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend, or just post it on your social media channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show. And use the hashtag on the frontline. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. It means so much to me. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content, so make sure you don't miss an episode and go ahead and hit subscribe if you like it. Your thumbs up, ratings, and review go a long way to help promote my show, and it means a lot to me and my team. You want to know more? Go to our website, learningwithgina.com or lumabrighterlearning.com, and follow me on LinkedIn and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.